Hey, welcome to Space Gab. This is Mike Coletta. It's the 8th of December, 2021. Space Gab can be heard at www.spacegabpodcast.com and on Spotify, Anchor FM, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many other podcast venues. Well, later today, probably about 10 hours from now, China's Shenzhou 13 crew aboard the Tiangong space station will be hosting a live lecture. And today's lecture will be featuring microgravity, biological cell research, buoyancy, effervescent tablets, and more. And if you've followed the Shenzhou crews in the past on the other space stations that they've put up in orbit, they have also done some live lectures, kind of interesting. And today's will be put on the video format YouTube for all to watch. So if you're able to get there today, you can watch it live. And if you're able to get there later on, you'll be able to see the rebroadcast of the live lecture. They usually keep it up there. As I said in previous podcasts, China's space agency really likes to push, and you know, a lot of people call it propaganda, but it's just sharing information from space, which we also do on the International Space Station with American astronauts and Russian cosmonauts and ESA astronauts. So this is just another venue to learn about space, which is very important. And space is the place for China, especially. I think their latest rocket launch was their 48th for 2021, and that happened just a couple days ago. So they've had 48 launches, rocket launches, and they're outdoing every other country as of right now. And later today, a live lecture from space from the Tiangong Chinese Space Station. Japanese billionaire launches to the International Space Station while waiting for SpaceX moon ride. This is from The Verge. Three new spacefarers launched to the International Space Station this morning, a crew consisting of a Russian cosmonaut and two Japanese space tourists. One of the tourists on board was Yusaku Miyazawa, a Japanese billionaire who announced his intention a few years back to fly around the moon on SpaceX's future Starship rocket one day. The trio lifted off on top of a Russian Soyuz rocket from Kazakhstan at 2:38 a.m. Eastern Time, docking with the space station around 6 hours later at 8:40 a.m. Eastern Time. Miyazawa's crewmates include Russian cosmonaut Alexander Masurkin and Japanese tourist Yozu Hirano, who is Miyazawa's producer and manager. The group is slated to spend roughly 12 days on the ISS before heading back to Earth on December 19th. And if you'd like to read this entire article, as well as any other articles I talk about on today's Space Gab podcast, you can go to my Twitter feed, which is at www.twitter.com/Mike_Coletta. All those articles I speak about today will be on that Twitter feed in their entirety. But space tourists at the International Space Station for about 12 days. I wonder if they're going to do some video taping up there. I'm sure they will. A lot of sharing. Another billionaire in space. And speaking of a billionaire in space, Blue Origin is going to be sending up some space tourists. Well, their flight has been delayed. I talked about that last week. The different space tourists are going to be going up in the latest New Shepard launch for Blue Origin. And one of those is an astronaut's daughter. Alan Shepard's daughter is going to be going up and going to be bringing some interesting things with her that her father actually brought on his flight into orbit. So that's kind of cool. And it's been delayed though. This flight, they're naming it NS-19, is now slated for launch on Saturday due to forecasted winds. The liftoff is targeted for 8:45 a.m. Central Standard Time, which is 14:45 UTC. It says the New Shepard team has completed flight readiness review and certified that the vehicle is ready for flight. Weather is the only gating factor to get to launch. So we'll see those. Some are calling them astronauts, but I never have called those astronauts because of the training that's not done, and also the time in orbit. And there's no orbit actually, so there's zero time in orbit. It's just one of those up and down rides for Blue Origin, so it goes up to a certain height, which they declare is the definition of past where space would begin, and down they come immediately. So I'll talk about more of that flight as it progresses, or next week on the Space Gab podcast when the flight is finished. I'll probably discuss some of the things that are said and done, because it's a big fanfare once those space tourists come down to Earth. And they're actually given, pinned with, they call, Blue Origin calls them astronaut wings, but they're not really astronaut wings by definition. They're still space tourists, and I think most people consider them space tourists. Even them, they themselves, I would imagine, don't declare themselves astronauts because they did not go through all the rigorous training that a regular astronaut would go through, and spend the amount of time in space that a regular astronaut would go through. Although Alan Shepard, his first flight, first American in space, was pretty much the same thing. Went up, didn't go into orbit really, and just came down. It wasn't until later that an astronaut, American astronaut, actually John Glenn, went into orbit. But Alan Shepard's daughter's going up there, and she's going to be bringing some pretty interesting items that up there with her. They're actually, I think this crew of space tourists is actually allowed more than the Apollo crews were allowed, or any other spacefaring crews, like in the Mercury capsules, the Gemini capsules. They were really restricted on what they could take to space with them. But I think in the Blue Origin capsule, there's much more room. So these space tourists will probably be bringing quite a few more items than were allowed by the real astronauts who went up in space. So probably talk more about that later on, because we'll probably be getting information shared with us on other things that are being brought up besides just what the daughter of Alan Shepard will be bringing up on this flight. And she did share what a nice video, and talked about some of the items she did bring up, is going to bring up with her on the Blue Origin New Shepard flight. And you can read about that on a link on my Twitter feed. Wow, we haven't seen this much hair on the ISS for a long time. And the hair I'm speaking about is going to be on a Russian cosmonaut. She has very long hair. And we've seen other cosmonauts, and actually some American astronauts with very long hair, the females that went on to the International Space Station, so much so that they actually gave lectures on how to manage long hair on the International Space Station in the past, or a number of the astronauts. And if you do want to take a look at this cosmonaut's hair, her name is Anna Kakina, it looks like, and she'll become the first cosmonaut to fly on Crew Dragon in autumn of 2022. And if you can see a picture of her, if her hair is this long at the time she flies in space, I think that's going to be a record for the length of hair on the International Space Station. And I'm sure maybe that she'll share some videos on some hair care also in zero gravity. But so this will happen in autumn of 2022, maybe some hair videos and a lot more. Unless, of course, she does get her hair trimmed prior to the flight. I'm not sure how old this photo is that they're sharing here on their announcement, but we'll just have to wait and see. But I can imagine, for in zero gravity, you've probably seen, if you've seen videos on the International Space Station, how everything floats around. and the this bundle of hair will be something that'll be floating around up there. How that's done. Actually, I think I shared last week on the Space Gap podcast about some more hair care videos. It was when the Shenzhou 13 crew showed how to cut hair aboard their Tiangong space station. So that's, it's something to share. International Space Station shares quite a few self-care videos, and Chinese space station people up there, they share also. So kind of interesting, the different things that spacefaring astronauts will share for the entertainment value and also educational value of the people who enjoy space, so-called space enthusiasts. Well, I think there's a joke in here somewhere. The Black Vault tweets out, Congress tells Pentagon and intelligence community UFOs are serious business. The joke would be, I guess, sometimes people don't view Congress as serious business, and many people don't view UFOs as serious business. So you've got one organization that's not taken seriously a lot of times, talking about something, a subject matter that's not taken serious a number of times. But if you'd like to read more about that, there is a link on my Twitter feed to the Black Bolt's story on that subject. Well, yesterday I watched a movie, a science fiction movie, titled First Signal on Prime Video. And this movie was very low budget, as they claim. And you could tell it was very low budget by, the number of people that were involved in the movie, the areas where the movie was filmed, the different very limited space it was filmed in, and the number of times that they changed location, which was not many. But just because it's a low budget movie doesn't mean it's not a good movie. But I'll tell you another but is this movie was not completely similar to another low budget movie that was that movie was Cosmos, and I've talked about Cosmos in the past. Now, there's no way I can compare the movie First Signal with the movie Cosmos. There is no comparison. If I did compare the two, I would have to say I'd have to give First Signal like a quarter of a star and Cosmos 5 stars out of 5. And I told you why in past podcasts. But because they were similar, I mean, as far as the subject matter for Signal. But not saying that it's not worth a watch. If you still like this kind of thing, it's but their poster shows an alien satellite, a government conspiracy. And you can kind of guess what the first signal's all about. But, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It was no Cosmos, of course. And just because I was in the movie Cosmos, my podcast was in the opening scenes of podcast of the movie. I'm not saying anything about that. It was a Cosmos was compared to First Signal was way better, way better. But if you still like this kind of stuff, definitely see the movie Cosmos, and also see the movie First Signal. So not only you can compare the two, but you can, the subject matter you still would enjoy, as far as if you like the aliens and satellites and different kinds of transmission means, things like this. But First Signal, a lot of people, a lot of reviews aren't real, nice. They're not using real nice words about the movie, but still, it was kind of interesting to watch. They did talk about, kind of was kind of cool about the X-37B, or actually at the time it probably wasn't the B, it might have been the X-37A, which is the secret space plane. So they used that in the movie, and where they sent this space plane, I don't know if it could actually make the trip to that point that they were talking about. I'm not sure how realistic that was, but it was kind of cool how they did bring that into the movie also. And the graphics that they had, the photographs that the X-37B had taken on one of this satellite that they're, you know, well, I don't want to give you away the movie, but you know, it was kind of cool in certain ways, but it was no Cosmos. So I'll just put it that way. But hey, it might be worth a watch. I guess it's coming, you know, it's on a lot of different video venues, so you might want to go check it out. But no disrespect meant to this movie at all. I did watch the whole thing. A lot of people I read in reviews said they couldn't finish watching it, but I did. I watched the whole thing. So if you didn't watch the entire movie, it wasn't fair that you know, could review it without watching the entire movie. But I did watch the whole movie. Like I said, it was no Cosmos, but it was a pretty fair science fiction movie. And if you get a chance, check out First Signal. And definitely, 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 if you haven't watched the movie Cosmos, the sci-fi movie Cosmos 2019, check that one out for sure. Interesting question about the ISS. Eric Berger says in a tweet, and he's the at Sci Guy Space on Twitter. Serious question for the ISS policy people here. If Russia invades Ukraine, does that break the ISS partnership? Or do NASA and Roscosmos continue ignoring geopolitics and play nice in space? That is a very interesting question. Asteroid worth $5 billion to pass us. They're saying that on EarthSky.org, there's a article about asteroid Nereus flyby Saturday. They say it's worth $5 billion in precious metals. The asteroid's not going to hit us, because if it did, you know, it'd be pretty bad. But I wonder how they estimate $5 billion, an estimate of that, as far as the number of precious metals on this asteroid. Kind of interesting. Check out the article if you'd like to read more. And I've, as I mentioned earlier, China's 48th rocket launch of 2021 occurred. It says their first consecutive successful commercial launch, and that occurred with the Galactic Energy launched five satellites into orbit with its Sirius 1-Y2 rocket. And that was the 48th launch. And it's not going to be the last for the year. I'm guessing there's going to be a number of other Chinese rocket launches happening before the year is out. Well, a successful launch of the ULA rocket taking the Space Test Program -3 mission into orbit. Five solid rocket boosters and an RD-180 engine powered the Atlas off the pad with 2.6 million pounds of thrust. And if you'd like to read more about that, they're calling it the STP-3 mission. Go check out my links on my Twitter feed. Most of them are going to direct you to Spaceflight Now, which is a very good venue to read quite a bit about the space program. STP-3 mission launch success. 10 new astronaut candidates were announced a couple days ago, introducing the 2021 class of NASA astronaut candidates. 10 of them. They'll begin training in Houston in January. If you'd like to see the candidates, one of them, a female astronaut from Divide, Colorado, there is a nice link, and NASA Johnson Space Center provided that link, and it's a nice thread, and it goes down and explains, introduces each one of the astronaut candidates. And check that link out on my Twitter feed, twitter.com/Mike_Coletta. Just gives a quick synopsis about each individual that have made the list of candidate astronauts for the class of 2021. Good stuff, as some of them are saying, the right stuff. This was kind of interesting. China's Yeotu 2 Moon rover has spotted a cube-shaped mystery hut, they're calling it, on the far side. I guess from a distance, this thing looks like a little cubicle-shaped hut. But many are saying it's probably just a rock that was ejected during a meteor strike. But from the distance, though, it's you can see a photo of it on my Twitter feed, and probably a lot of other social media accounts sharing this a photo of this cube-shaped, looks like a small building in the distance on the lunar surface. But guess what? They're going to be going closer if they can. It might take a couple of months for them to get close enough where they can depict what this thing might be. But right now, people are calling it the Mystery Hut. As we get closer, as that lunar rover gets closer and is able to focus in on this object a little bit more, we'll know more. But right now, it is a mystery indeed. Well, NASA signs agreements for commercial space station designs. NASA has signed agreements with Blue Origin, NanoRacks, and Northrop Grumman to develop designs of commercial space stations to meet the needs and ensure a seamless transition of activity from the space station. So, you know what I found interesting about this was Axiom Space wasn't mentioned in that. And Axiom Space has been touting their space station to take over after the International Space Station is decommissioned. Well, if NASA has signed agreements with NanoRacks, Blue Origin, and Northrop Grumman to develop designs for commercial space stations after the ISS, what about Axiom Space? Well, I did ask them in a tweet a number of times, but I didn't get any response from them. But others were writing about that Axiom Space already had an agreement with NASA to go ahead and continue to build. And I'm not sure if it was to build a station, but they are building modules to be placed onto the existing space station. So I'm going to guess that that's what they're going to continue with. And maybe they jumped the gun on their space station thing early on. Maybe there was some kind of misunderstanding or whatever. But they, in a message that was shared on social media, they said that they didn't bid for those contracts because they already had the existing contract. But as I said, I'm still not sure if it was for a space station itself or just the modules that Axiom Space will be delivering and docking with to the current International Space Station in the future. And there'll be some civilian astronauts going up to those modules. And you can read more on the Axiom Space page or their Twitter feed. But right now, at first I was a little bit confused. But it looks like for a space station contract, it's going to be with Blue Origin, NanoRacks, and Northrop Grumman submitting proposals, giving developmental designs for a commercial space station to NASA. So, but I'll follow this program, this project in the future and see what happens, which was kind of disappointing in a way because Axiom Space had a pretty cool looking rendering of their space station that they said they were going to have after the space station, the International Space Station, was going to be decommissioned. But we'll just have to wait and see. Okay, that's it. Until next time. Space Cowboys.